Welcome to the second episode of Sustainable Photography. In this episode, I talk with financial coach Gillian Todd. She wants you to know that you can have a money-confident business. Listen to the full conversation to learn more about how. And as a side note, do remember that podcasting is still new to me, and in this interview, the sound kind of got crazy, so bear with me as I learn. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. You're about to meet Gillian Todd. She's a financial coach, and as a coach, she has a mission to help creatives transform their relationship with money, kind of proving that you don't have to choose between what you love doing and being financially abundant. Through one-on-one coaching and virtual CFO services, Gillian will help you uncover what's holding you back and implement systems to scale your business and build wealth so that you can achieve those dreams on your heart. In this episode, we'll talk about money confidence, which is something Gillian is so passionate about. Hi, Gillian. I'm so excited to have you here on the podcast. Maybe you can start by telling me a bit more about you, what you do, what a CFO is, and how you ended up where you are today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. So I actually got my start in bookkeeping. So I studied finance and accounting in college, had a traditional corporate job, but a friend of a friend owned a landscaping company, and they needed help with the own numbers in their business, right? So reconciling transactions, making sure their bank accounts were updated, helping them with taxes at the end of the year. So what started with helping someone a couple hours a month with their own business finances and tracking those, you know, ins and outs, turned into me really diving in, really enjoying the advising piece of it, which is kind of what I focus on now. So to back all the way up, a virtual CFO, which is my official title, basically helps stands for Chief Financial Officer. And so my main job is helping business owners manage the finances of their business. So that looks like tracking cash flow. What are ins and outs? That includes tax planning. That includes things like personal finance as well, right? Setting up your retirement, setting up your insurance, making sure you're taken care of. If you have a team, running that payroll on your behalf, managing your financial statements. Basically, I take the entire busy work, or maybe the technical stuff that takes to run a business, and really streamline it, really make it easy and manageable for you. So you can really focus on the art, right? Like, you do not get into a creative business to stare at spreadsheets all day. So I'm kind of the person in your corner making sure that all the pieces align and everything works out the way it's supposed to.
Ah, oh, that's really great, Gillian. Thanks. And I'm so excited to start talking money with you. One of my favorite topics.
I definitely have to agree, but I'm also a fellow money nerd, so.
Yeah, so first things first, what does a sustainable business mean to you?
Yeah, so to me, a sustainable business is different from maybe when you're first starting a business. You're just trying to get money in the door, get clients, you know, get this thing off the ground. You're kind of doing any and all the things that will work, throwing spaghetti at the wall. But to me, a sustainable business means you've implemented systems. You're no longer just kind of like throwing strategies at the wall, seeing what works. You've built in systems. It's now an asset. It's something you can depend on that's bringing in money consistently, that has clients. And so it is more of it's not a baby business anymore. It's more of a toddler or a child business, or even an adult business.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's the starting out part is one thing, but to actually make it last, not that many people think about that part of it. So there's so many pieces, and money is a huge piece of it. And you're all about money confidence, but will you explain a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, I love the term money confidence. I think because in business, as you're aware, the way that I run business or the way that you run business is going to be maybe a little bit different depending on where we live, what we need, right? And so money confidence to me is not me sitting you down and telling you, here are the 15 steps that you have to do in order to have a sustainable business, right? It's, okay, how can we build money confidence into your business, into your life? How can I empower you, give you the tools, the strategies, the confidence that you need to know I can make decisions for my business? I know what I need to grow to six figures, to seven figures, to beyond, to bring in more money, to sign more clients, right? It's having that confidence in yourself. I feel like a lot of creatives, and I think I work with a lot of women as well, aren't really given that those tools, given that belief that we can be successful with money, that we can grow wealth, right? We're kind of told to depend on our parents or our partners and listen to their advice and don't trust yourself and all of these things. And so enabling people to feel confident with their money, to feel like they are in control, that they can make decisions that will benefit them is so important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it matters on so many levels, but I'm really interested to know how it became important to you. Is it like part of your personal story that made you become so passionate about this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's funny now because I teach finance for a living, but I was not always very smart with my money. So I was a spender as a little kid. Like I was the kid who got their allowance and then 10 minutes later it was gone because it's been all on gum and candy and toys. And that pattern actually followed me into adulthood. So my first job, I kind of was in a feast or famine cycle. I would get my paycheck and I'd be so excited and I'd go out with dinner with my friends and pay all my bills and, you know, go on vacation, do all these things. But then when that money was gone, I really went through a really hard time where, you know, money was really tight. I would beat myself up and I would be like, okay, next paycheck, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm going to be super strict. I'm not going to do anything fun. But then of course, when the next paycheck hit, I would repeat the cycle. And so it was this really intense feast or famine cycle and I could not get out of it. Right. I tried to be really strict with myself. I read all the books. I listened to all the gurus, but the advice really was not working for me. So through really diving into my money stories, from really diving into, okay, Jillian, what are you trying to accomplish by spending all of your money, by, you know, living in this feast or famine cycle? What would it look like if you made it easier on yourself, right? And so by really questioning my beliefs, really understanding kind of the psychology or the stories behind the way I was acting, I was able to change my behaviors. But for me, and I feel like for a lot of people, it's not enough to just tell you like what to do, right? Like, how do you build wealth? You save less than you spend. Or how do you get out of debt? You pay more on your credit card every single month, right? But if you've tried to do that in the past and it hasn't really been working, then you need to actually, it's not that you're not disciplined enough. It's not that you're dumb or whatever, or irresponsible with money or whatever the story is. There's probably an underlying reason. There's probably an underlying need or fear or something like that that's keeping you from where you want to be. And so that's what you need to look at next. It's not about beating yourself up and going down the money shame spiral.
Yeah, definitely. And I must say, it's kind of encouraging that you, of all people, have gone through struggles with money and the way you deal with money and your mindset around money. Maybe you can say a little bit more about mindset.
Yeah, totally. So a big thing of like my coaching and courses is like building momentum. I feel like a lot of times kind of like I spoke to before, we kind of set ourselves up for success or failure, right? So it's really popular at the beginning of a new year or maybe a new quarter. We're like, okay, this is the year. I'm going to save all the money, get out of debt, lose 20 pounds, get all my kids to eat all their vegetables, right? We like set ourselves up for these like major goals. And while it can feel really exciting and really like energizing, right? It's like January 1st, all the things. It's also setting ourselves up for failure, right? So instead of doing that, I really encourage people to focus on the number one thing that's going to move the needle for you, right? So what is the thing that is like the biggest pain in your butt, right? Is it that you are riding the cash flow roller coaster every single month and you really need to bring in sustainable sources of revenue, so you're not like all over the place emotionally when the first of the month hits, right? Is it that you really want to pay off your credit cards because they're stressing you out and you can't sleep at night? How can we focus on the number one thing, right? And then build progress in that area instead of being all over the place, beating yourselves up. Because I think a lot of times when you do set, you know, 15 goals of saving money, getting out of debt, growing your business, making your kids eat vegetables, and you don't necessarily accomplish it because you try to do too many things at once, then it feeds into that same negative money story of, oh, of course I can't save money. Why did I think I could do this? Or of course I didn't, you know, grow the business because X, Y, and Z, when really it's about setting yourself up for success better, right? Setting a goal, achieving it, setting a new goal, achieving it again. You're telling a new story. You're normalizing the kind of success you want to have. And so yes, mindset's a big part of it, but it is kind of baked into the system of like how we even approach the goals.
Yeah, I get it. It's just really interesting to see how it's all connected and how everything matters. And you not only talk about money confidence and, you know, mindset and all that, you also talk about dreams and how you can achieve your dreams. Maybe you can say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, totally. So it is kind of like a lofty thing, right? It's like very like, ooh, achieve your dreams. But the reason that I do encourage people to do that is a lot of times, similar to what I was saying earlier, based on the stories that we have from our parents or society or the fact that no one really talks about money, sometimes the things that we're aiming for aren't things we actually care about. And so if you are going to take the steps to grow your business, finally save money, buy your dream house, send your kids to college debt-free, whatever your goal is, it needs to be something that you actually care about. Because if you are, quote unquote, working really hard to pay off debt because you feel like it's something you should do, quote unquote, or, you know, your partner thinks it's really important, or you really want to impress your mom or like keep up with the Joneses or something like that, it's not going to be as motivating for you. And it's going to be way harder to achieve it. But if it's something, again, that you're like, I really have this dream for this business. I've had it since I was a little girl. Like, you know, all these things, it means so much to me. It's tied to all of these things. You're going to be way more motivated to do the scary, the maybe intimidating things that you need to do to actually achieve that goal. So that's why I say following your dreams is important. It's not so much about, you know, princesses and unicorns and follow your dreams, but really, like, if we're going to work on something, right, if we're really going to take the steps to overcome our money drama, our bad habits, all of the things that we need to do, let's do it to focus on something that actually matters to us instead of something that we, you know, society says we should do or that we feel like we should do.
Yeah, I think that's quite common to think about, like, what we should be doing rather than what we actually want. And oftentimes we don't see it until maybe it's been a while or maybe even too long. And then we've just been working nonstop and not really gotten to the place we want to be. And maybe the simplest thing we can do is to just think, okay, so what do I actually want to do? I think a lot of people don't even think about that because it's so ingrained in us that, you know, you have to follow this path, even as a person who has their own business, even as a photographer who has taken like a really unconventional route. It's still like, it's all about booking more and getting more clients and increasing your prices when maybe you haven't stopped to think about like the fundamentals of it, which probably is being more profitable rather than getting more money in. So you have to be kind of mindful of that as well. Just maybe spend less. I don't know what you would say to a photographer who's had their business for a while, but still isn't making as much money as they would like.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think that's a really important question because, again, we do always like look for more, right? Book more clients, sign more weddings, raise more prices. And yes, that is definitely a huge part of growing a business, right? You do need money. You do need clients. It is nice to raise our prices. But again, it kind of goes back to looking at the end goal, right? Is your end goal to have a ton of freedom and a ton of free time, right? So maybe it's raising your prices a lot and booking less weddings. Do you really love connecting with your clients and you really love maybe your family photographer and you really love like hanging out with kids and shooting all the time and that's your joy, right? So then maybe raising your prices and only working a couple, you know, events every year is not really going to make you happy, right? So that's kind of where you look at what is the end goal? What do I actually want, right? What is the actual dream? And then we kind of work around it to actually get there. But I do agree that a lot of times when people are like, oh, I want to grow my business, it's more about more clients, more team, more, you know, higher prices, all of those things. But again, it really comes back to like, you know, those are the things that the industry, quote unquote, says you should have or it says you should aim for. But what do you actually want to aim for?
Yeah, I've actually asked that question in my Facebook group before, like, what do you most want? And pretty much everyone wants to just book more weddings. That's like the end goal. And maybe it's because they haven't really experienced that part of working too much and just feeling like it just never ends, because that is where you're headed if your goal is constantly just to book more. And booking more isn't going to get you happier. It's not going to get you more of the right clients. It's not going to get you necessarily even more money, because there are so many things and so many systems that needs to be in place before you're even at that point.
Yeah, totally. And I think it just really goes back to what you were talking about in the beginning, which is like building a sustainable business, right? You're no longer in the stage of like, oh, I just need to get money in the door, so I'm going to sign, you know, whatever client comes to me. It's like, okay, I want to build a sustainable business, something that I can see myself doing for a long time, which means attracting the right clients, charging the right amount so that I can do the things that I love and go on vacation and rest and not be working every single second, right? It's all those things that make it a sustainable business.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a shame that creative business owners don't think enough about the business. I completely get it. If you're a creative, you want to create things, you want to be artistic, you want to do all the fun things. But without your business systems, without thinking about your business lasting for a long time, without even thinking that it has to be profitable right here, right now, it's just not going to work. If you set your business upright, you can spend more time being creative. You can spend more time doing the fun stuff. Just try to do things with a little bit more strategy behind you, and you'll just end up in a much better place. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I talk about this with like money anxiety all the time. So like a lot of times when people are in that place where they're like scared of business, or they're maybe afraid to check their bank account, or they feel really stressed whenever their bills come in, it's usually because they haven't necessarily looked at it right. And I get it. Looking at your money can be really scary if you like, you know, crunch the numbers and the ends don't meet, right? Mm-hmm. But I always tell people it is always worth it, because when you don't look at your money, when you hide it, or when you, you know, pretend it's not a thing and just kind of run from emergency to emergency, money becomes this big overarching like dark cloud over you and your business, right? It's distracting. You can't sleep at night. You have like stomach aches, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you have to check your bank account, you maybe get nervous and start sweating. It's so stressful. And so what I always tell people, while it is scary to check your bank account, it's always worth it. Because one, I find you're usually in a better place than you thought you were, right? The overarching cloud of money anxiety tends to spiral, right? It's not just, oh, I need to earn an extra $1,000 every single month to make ends meet, becomes, you know, I'm going to be homeless, get kicked out, and no one's going to love me, and my business is going to run into the ground, right? We tend to like really go down the money shame spiral with those. So I always tell people, like, number one, check your numbers, because it's probably is not as bad as you think, number one. And number two, if you crunch the numbers and you find that your ends aren't really matching up, then you have a concrete problem that you can work on, right? It's okay, I need to book an extra $1,000 worth of work every single month. That's a concrete thing you can work on, instead of something that's just like, oh, my business is unsuccessful, a big, you know, scary cloud over your head, or I need to cut my expenses by 20%, right? That's a tactical thing that you can work on, and that can be problem solved, that can be worked on. But I think if you don't look at your numbers, if you don't actually crunch it, if you don't look at the things in your business that are causing you stress, if you kind of like hide from them and don't want to look at them directly, the problem never resolves itself.
Yeah, I think so too. And I know for me, when a few years ago, when I hadn't been in business for that long, I thought I was making a lot of money. I thought that my prices were high. I thought that after a wedding, I would like be left with good money, and I was doing really well. But then at the end of the year, I calculated up all my numbers, and I realized, oh, I've actually been spending money to shoot people's weddings. I'm not actually making any money. So that was a bit of an eye opener for me. And I realized that I needed to be a lot more careful with my pricing and make sure that I'm actually charging enough to be profitable. I don't know about you. Have you had any like big moments where you realize that you've made some huge mistakes?
Gosh, yeah. And I totally relate to crunching your numbers at the end of the year and being like, oh, I didn't make as much money as I thought I made. Because I feel like a lot of people do that, right? They don't necessarily check their numbers. They're like, you know, and again, it's kind of like we talked about in the beginning, when you're first getting started with business, you don't necessarily have systems. You're just like, okay, I'm making money. I can pay my bills. Things are fine. And then it's not until maybe you submit your numbers to your accountant at the end of the year, or, you know, it's December and you're like, ooh, how much money did I make? Let me finally add it all up. That we see that, oh, wow, I wasn't as profitable as I thought. Or maybe I, you know, at the end of the year came out negative, which is a really hard feeling and something that's difficult to deal with. So that's always tell people to like, check your numbers, and it doesn't have to be ordeal, right? I'm not saying sit down for a whole day and like super analyze every single penny that you're spending on email marketing and your time and your equipment, right? That can be overwhelming. But even just sitting down for 30 minutes to an hour, hour and a half every single month, crunching your numbers, seeing where you actually can go, will do so much for you. I actually recently did this in my personal finances. This is a really funny story. Mm-hmm. It's just me. I'm a single woman. I live in Atlanta in the United States. It's me and my dog. But when I crunched my personal numbers, I noticed I was going to the grocery store every single week and spending like $80 to $75 on groceries. I'm a single woman. I don't need to spend that much money on groceries. And it wasn't until I actually noticed that habit, like, you know, I'm like, you know, go pick up some wine and then groceries. And ooh, I want this treat and I want this other treat. You know, so it was, I was spending too much money and then not eating the groceries because I would also eat out and go out with my friends and all, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so by even noticing that pattern, I was like, okay, how can I plan better? Can I plan to go to the grocery store every other weekend on a Sunday and plan my meals and spend less money, right? But if I hadn't even looked at my bank statements, if I hadn't been aware of that at all, I would have spent twice as much on groceries for the entire year. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not necessarily about spending less, but it's like, how can you be more strategic, right? How can you become aware of your patterns? Because once you become aware of them, it's so easy to find the places where you can save money, maybe be more profitable, upsell clients, right? There's so many ways that you can really streamline and become more sustainable. But if you're not looking at the numbers, if you're not looking at the actual data, nothing really to go off of.
Yeah, I think awareness is pretty key because, as you say, it might be uncomfortable, but if you don't do it, then it's just going to get worse. So having someone to guide you can definitely be a good idea. Just maybe pairing up with a friend who does something similar, joining a course, getting an accountant, just someone who can help you. And yeah, I just think that can be so, so, so important.
Really? Yeah. And I get it. It's so scary. It can feel really scary, especially if you've spent a long time not looking at your numbers, or maybe you're intimidated by an accountant, right? But I would say, again, a starting point is just like open up. If you're using a system for accounting like QuickBooks or Xero or something like that, they automatically do it for you, right? They're generating those reports anyway. Take 10, 15 minutes and look at them every single month, right? Again, you'll start to notice those patterns.
This is just a quick interruption to say, if you want to continue the conversation, ask questions, and hang out with like-minded photographers, come on over to the Facebook group Sustainable Photography. I'll see you there.
And then help finding an accountant, my number one piece of advice is always ask for referrals, right? So I think a lot of us, when we think about accountants, we think of like old white dudes who are just going to judge us and don't understand creative business at all, right? But asking for referrals is a great way to find someone who is familiar with your industry, right? Someone who already works with photographers, who understands your business cycle, who's not going to ask you a million questions about like, why are you spending all this money on film? Or you know what I mean? Whereas someone who is understanding your industry. And then also you'll probably find someone who is friendly, honest, open, right? Because they're already working with your friend. And if they're giving you a referral, it's someone they probably already really love to work with. So don't let that stop you. Ask for referrals. But even if you're not at that step yet where you're ready to work with someone to help you manage your money one-on, take 10, 15 minutes, look at your numbers every single month. I promise it will help you in the long run.
Yeah, I've always been the kind of person who just accounting when it's tax season. And that's the one day I do it because it's like an ordeal. It's like, oh no, I don't. Because I like thinking about it and talking about it, but actually doing it, actually sitting down and looking for all my receipts and figuring out. It can be a bit like painful as well. Like, oh, did I spend all this money? That wasn't what I was supposed to do. But when I have gotten into the habit of doing it regularly, it has made a huge difference. And thanks to you, I've learned so much from you as well. I'm on top of my money goals. I'm paying myself monthly. I've even got like a percentage bonus that I pay myself every month. And I just feel it just helps. And I completely understand why you call it money confidence, because it's like, I'm not worried about it. Like it just say it lives a life of its own because it's not, but I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to like feel like, oh, how much I'm going to make next month, because I do. I figured it out. And thinking about like the long run, thinking about retirement, making sure you're setting aside money for insurance and everything you need. There's so many expenses that you can't really skip, even though it feels like that in the beginning. You have to think about it.
Yeah, I love that so much. That makes me so happy that you're like paying yourself consistently. You have a bonus account. Because again, once you kind of like, again, build those systems in, it's so easy. And I always say, kind of to your point too, like money should not be like the number one thing that you think about, right? You have so much time and energy and like creativity. You should not be staying up at night worrying about your credit cards or like how much money am I going to make next month? Or am I going to be able to pay my rent or mortgage? And so building in those systems really allows you to spend that time, that money, that energy on other things that are going to bring you more money. You can dream up new offers. You can sign new clients because you're not, you know, staying up at night worrying about your, you know, pricing or your money or your bank account or anything like that. I love that so much.
Or even feeling like you have to quit, or not even feeling like, even ending up in a place where you have to quit because your business isn't profitable, because even though you're having a job that you really love, photographing, you have bills to pay. It's not like doing something fun just takes away the fact that you have to live your life. So just to avoid ending up at that point where it's like, yeah, my money is profitable, I need to quit, just staying on top of your money is so important.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's always the number one piece of advice I give people when they have trouble managing their cash flow. So as you know, in creative business, there's, you know, usually high months and low months, right? In the summer, if you're a wedding photographer, you're a lot of weddings, you're doing a lot of stuff, you're making a lot of money. But then the winter might be kind of quieter, right? People aren't booking shoots. People aren't really getting married in January. And so managing that cash flow roller coaster is the number one thing. And I always tell people, plan in advance, right? Money anxiety happens when we realize there's not enough money and not enough time and creativity because we're stressed to figure out ways to bring in more money, right? So right now we're recording this, it's July, but if you're looking at your numbers for August and you look at it now and say like, okay, how much am I bringing in? How much do I need to bring in? What are other ways that I can get that number to match? Can I book new clients? Can I sell an intensive? Can I pick up extra hours at my part-time job, right? Giving yourself time to figure out options as opposed to waiting until maybe like the day before rent is due or your bill is due or, you know, an emergency pops up, then it's so much easier to get stressed, which is the opposite thing of what we want, right? So planning in advance, really crunching your numbers and figuring out, what am I bringing next month? What about the month after? If, you know, December is always really quiet for you, how can you figure out other income streams for that time and start thinking about it now instead of waiting until, you know, November 30th and then having a panic attack because you don't have enough money, you know?
Yeah, your money flow chart has really changed my business for the better. Like, I really love the fact that I can just look at it and I know like, okay, so these 3 months are really good. But then when I look at the whole picture, it's like, yeah, these 3 months now have to feed me for the entire year. So then I know like, okay, I need to maybe do something about November and December and see what I can do to get in some more money then. And also just make sure that I'm spreading out the money coming in throughout the year and not just leaving it till the very last minute. I even made my own version of the spreadsheet and I added some formulas and stuff and I read profit first and I made sure that, you know, getting all the accounts set up and everything to just to make it flow. Because it just can't be stressed enough. It's just so, so, so important.
I love that so much. And you brought up an important point as well, because I feel like if you are not tracking those numbers, you know, I would say make a plan for the high months and the low months. And I feel like a lot of us make plans for when there's not enough money, right? We're going to sell more stuff. We're going to pick up extra hours. We're going to pitch clients. But then you also need to have a plan for those bigger months, right? So you book a huge client, you have a huge revenue month, a client gives you an awesome tip. What are you going to do with those extra funds? Are you going to tuck it into savings for later in the year? Are you going to buy new equipment? Are you going to do, you know, pay your team a bonus, hire someone? And I think it's so important not only to plan for the low months, but plan for the high months. Because something that I've seen, especially as people really start to grow their business, is if they don't have a plan for when they bring in extra money, when they feel really successful, what we actually will do is self-sabotage ourselves so we don't make as much money. So we don't have to have the anxiety or stress of like, oh, I don't know what to do with the money. Oh, I wasted it. I spent it all on shoes or food or something like that. So having that plan of like, you know, when things are quiet or slow, these are what I do. And when things are, you know, I'm bringing in lots of money, I'm feeling really successful, this is what I do. Because if you don't have that plan, we will self-sabotage. We hate risk. We hate uncertainty. We hate anxiety. And so we'll actually stop ourselves from making too much money if we feel like we don't know what to do with it, or that we're, you know, just going to make irresponsible decisions with it.
Yeah, I think so too. And also I see a lot of photographers, especially because there's so much fun gear involved. There's so many things you can buy and so many things to do. And that when you have good months, like in the summer, you get so much money coming in, and then you feel like, oh, I've got all this money. I can buy 3 new lenses and a printer, and I can buy 5 new dresses for my client wardrobe. And then suddenly all the money's gone. And then, you know, you have the rest of the year still in front of you. But yeah, so thinking about the whole year as one instead of month by month, I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, totally. I see it all the time too.
I was thinking about you and you starting out and like your whole journey. Is there something that you know now that you wish you knew when you were starting out? Like, is there something like a big thing that turned things around for you?
Oh my gosh. This is like a really corny answer, but it's like, my God, honest truth. It's having a community of other business owners or people who are in the direction that I want to go, right? So I think, like we talked about in the beginning of a business, you may be the only person you know who like has a small business or is in your industry. And it's really easy to either get into the comparison game and be like, well, I don't have a business like theirs, or want to stay away from people who are in your industry, you know, to avoid that comparison game, or feeling like, oh, my business is small and there's, you know, they're so successful and all of those things. But my business changed for like night and day when I joined a community, actually a mastermind, because it was not only having people I could look up to, right? Of like, I'll never forget, someone told me in a mastermind call, they were like, I've signed a $20,000 client, and it blew my mind, right? It was like expanding my belief of what's possible. It's all of those things in a community. And then also, it's so nice. It's so encouraging. I think, especially after 2020, we all know this, but to have a community, have people that you can go to when you have a question, you want to talk about accounting, you're dealing with a tough client, just having someone and people who understand business, who you can bounce ideas off of, will help you grow your business tenfold. So I'd say it's like both the feedback and collaboration, having those relationships, but then also working with people, knowing people who are a little bit ahead of you, who can inspire you, who can be mentors to you, who can really show you what's possible in business. I would say that's like the number one thing.
I actually agree so much. I think just learning from other people, just seeing how others do things. Because when I was starting out, I was all alone. I didn't know a single photographer. And of course, I didn't know what I was doing about anything. So if I had had someone like that I could learn from, that was cheering me on, I think I would have gotten so much further, so much faster, instead of just, I felt like I had to do things on my own, and things are so different now. Like, there's a million Facebook groups and so many different places to learn from, but it didn't used to be like that. So I think in a way we're very privileged now that there's so much accessible information, education, communities, like there's so many choices.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible. And I know I was the same way when I first started out. I was like, I'm going to figure this out by myself. I don't need anybody else. But again, my business, it was like night and day, both the community and having those mentor situations or people I could look up to really, really changed my business for the better.
I completely understand that. What about your motivation? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I think so. Again, going back to my own money story, like I was in such pain when I was like in that feast or famine cycle. And I think something that is really prevalent, especially in the financial industry, is like shamey financial advice, right? Like, here is the financial advice and you're not smart enough to do this by yourself, or you're dumb if you have debt. And so something that really feels motivating to me and inspiring to me and is like encouraging when I work with clients or I get really great feedback or testimonials is like helping them see results, and then also in a shame-free way, right? Really encouraging them, really honoring them, really seeing them, and doing it in an individualized basis, right? So like, again, kind of like I said earlier, what works for me and what, you know, my money story is and my money drama is going to be different from your money drama. But if I can help you get from where you are to where you want to be and lift you up and encourage you and actually help you see the results, like, I don't know, I feel like I could cry talking about it right now. It like really gets me going, because I think a lot of us, just like I said in the beginning, aren't told that we can be successful, that we can build wealth, that we can do it in a way that makes sense to us. And like, I just feel like it's kind of my mission on earth to tell everyone, like, no, you can. And like, you can do it in a way that feels good to you and that works for you. And I'm here to show you the way. So that's kind of my motivation.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Yeah. I think it's really nice to hear from someone who actually cares, instead of just like those plain old advice you see all over the internet, like, oh, this is how you have to do it. Because I just don't really believe it. Like, there isn't one right way of doing things, and everyone has their reason. So yeah, just a shame-free place. That's really nice.
Yeah, I love it so much. Yes, I feel like it's like, no more mean financial advisors. Like, we just don't need it.
If someone wants to do something, like if there's one thing you think people can implement after listening to this, what would you say like is the first thing you would do to really feel confident about their money?
Yeah, oh, that's a really good thing. I would say the first thing is like really map out, look at your numbers in advance, right? Get really comfortable. And even if, again, I know that looking at your numbers can feel scary, even if you don't commit to making any changes right now, getting into the habit of checking your bank account, pulling your financial statements from your accounting software every single month, get into that habit, because I promise as you start to see the patterns, right, you'll start to see your own version of going to the grocery store twice every single week. Your money situation will naturally improve. You'll naturally start to look for ways that you can bring in more income, cut your expenses. And I think kind of building that muscle is really going to be the first step that I tell people to do. If you're, you know, really want to get started getting and feeling better with your money.
Yeah, I think that's a good step. It's definitely made a change for me, just being aware of my numbers and really seeing clearly what I need to do, and being, yeah, getting some ideas of what I can do as well. Because it's not all about, as we talked about before, it's not all about just raising your prices and making more money. It's also about how you're spending that money.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. What's one thing you would recommend doing to build a sustainable business?
That's a really great question. The one piece of advice I think would go back to what we said earlier. Don't try to go it alone. Find a coach, find a community, find a course. But there's so much knowledge to be had. And I feel like we struggle the most when we try to go it alone. What, there's like that quote, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So find people who are willing to travel with you, and it will make your business way more sustainable and way more fun along the way.
Ah, that's amazing. I love that. That's a really good quote. Yeah. Brilliant. Can you tell us how we can learn more from you, Jillian?
No, I guess my, kind of like I said earlier, my number one thing is like encouraging money confidence in the community. So if you have any questions, if you are super stressed about money, if you need a referral for an accountant, anything like that, please reach out to me. I'm more than happy to chat. Again, I love my community. I love my people. I love the relationships. I love encouraging in any way that I can. I also wanted to share that I shared it with you already, but I have a free Money Confident Business mini course. So it is a couple PDFs on how to read your financial statements, how to map out your cash flow, kind of like we were talking about earlier, of like, what am I bringing in next month? And the month after that, how to look at your taxes and understand your tax bill ahead of time, so you don't get anxiety when you crunch your numbers at the end of the year. And so you'll be able to get that for free using the code that I think you're going to put in the show notes.
Yeah, I am, definitely. And you also have your own podcast that I love listening to. So yeah.
I love it. Yes, the Money Confident podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely worth listening to. So much fun listening to your money advice.
Oh, thank you so much. I love it. Like I said, I'm a money nerd. And so I talk about this stuff all the time. So
thanks, Jillian. I'll make sure that I add your Instagram account, your freebie and everything to the show notes. And definitely go follow Jillian. She is a money wizard.
I love it. I'm going to add that to my business card. Money wizard.
Yeah, it's really good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram @IngvildKolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.